Welcome back, everyone.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Is It Crazy? Is It God?
Yes.
Is it?
Welcome back to another episode.
Another.
Where we are just talking about what we read in the Bible.
Yeah.
We welcome you to join us. We would love to just get a bunch of people reading along with us because it's actually quite the ride. I'll tell you that. So, there's some parts that are like hard to understand and pronounce, but for the most part, we're getting through those. I mean, we're just reading for ourselves, so it's not like we're gonna, you know, have to have them all right. And then like this week's reading, it gets really wild and crazy, and you're like, wow, like I can't believe that happened. So, anyway, welcome along. We welcome you to join us.
Yeah, man.
So, how was your week?
It was really good, actually. It was really good. I'm building some consistency. I'm building some consistency, guys, which is it's paramount to where I want to go. And consistency is one of those things that everybody talks about it, but you know, it's kind of like easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what consistency is. So, you know, but I've been doing pretty good. I've been praying more. I've been meditating more. But I want to just, you know, I listen to Jim Rohn a lot, and I know he talks about ratio. So right now, my ratio is 3 to 4. So I'm gonna turn that up to get it to 5 to 2, 6 to 1.
Yeah, I think it's probably 4-3 for you right now, like in your favor. I think you probably are consistent 4 days out of the week, right?
Yeah, you might say that.
Not 3, 4-3.
Well,
yeah.
I would say
it's more than me.
Nah, I would say 3 because every time I go to the gym is when I notice I do the other 3.
Oh, that's really?
I'm working out 3 times a week. So, well,
I worked out at 4. I think you're at 4.
Yeah, I'm at 4. Okay, guys, look at, see, not giving myself credit. Always give yourself credit. When it's due, not when it's, you know.
Not when it's not due.
Don't give yourself A's, man.
Everybody,
you know,
give yourself undue credit.
Yeah, no, do that. So now I'm just trying to up it to 5 to 2 or 6 to 1, you know. So that's what it is. And if, since we're reading the Bible, you know, yeah, I think God's ratio is, because this is in the Bible, when He created the heavens and the earth, His ratio was 6 to 1. He had one rest day. So 6 to 1 is an optimal thing. Right, some people do 7 out of 7, but I would suggest that if God has a day off, you should too. You know, that might be a really good standard. You know, just get one day of rest. You know, and God is the ultimate being, right? Ultimate creator. If he takes a day off, you know, just good advice you probably should do. So that's why I'm trying to, that's why my ratio is, the optimum is 6 to 1. So next week I'm trying to do 5 to 2. So that's 5 days of working out and 5 days of writing in my journal and meditating and praying more. So, you know, being more into my Bible with you. So yeah, that's it. It was a good week. I'm starting to be more calm.
Yeah.
You know, at work, things aren't getting to me, and I'm starting to realize if I say something or when I'm complaining to fix it quick and be more grateful. But it's still a process, but I'm just noticing it more and trying to fix it in the moment. Whereas I used to be like, oh, I'm just going to complain more. Now it's like I stop myself and say, well, let's not worry about that, because that you can't control that. You can only control what you do. Let's focus on how you become a better person.
So, nice.
That was my week. How was your week?
My week was good. It was a little jagged, I guess. It's like a little, it wasn't rough. Like, I had a week off from work, but I was working on something else. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny how when you're creating something, that's when you really have to, like, face yourself and really do some, I guess I don't want to call it soul searching, but you really have to, like, build your confidence while you're creating something, because, like, you're going to create it, right? So it's going to be what it's going to be. You're going to try your best, and it's going to be what it's going to be. But sometimes right in the middle of something or towards the end, you could start to, like, doubt yourself. Like, well, is this really, you know, a good use of your time? Like, is this just going to fail? Like, there's so many thoughts that I had, you know, and I'm still not finished, but, there's a lot of things that I'm aspirational about, and I'm just going to stop putting them off, and I'm going to start just working on them. And I realized that, like, you don't really have a guaranteed, you know, like, date for anything. So when you say, like, I'll do that later, I'll do that next year, it's like you might not get to it. You know what I'm saying? You might as well just start it now. So that's kind of like what I was thinking to myself this week. And then I had some... I think I've been building my confidence from the inside out. I'm working on my consistency. I feel like this is like the opposite of consistency, but I'm consistent and then I'm not. And so working my way around that, working my way through that is a challenge, but it's a welcome challenge. I'm just like, okay, if I can be consistent sometimes, then I can spread it and be consistent all the time. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a matter of whatever formula you need specifically, right? What works for somebody else isn't going to work for you. So these are all just self conversations I've been having, and overall I had a really good week. I'm just looking forward to, like, keeping on going. So, yeah. Funny. I had a couple confirmations there this week that were kind of, like, exciting / they weren't scary. Like, I wasn't afraid, but it was like, wow, God is so hilariously, like, he will confirm something out of nowhere. And it's like, it's shocking. So, yeah, I had some good times there. I had a really good week overall.
That's good. That's good, man. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah,
man.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, we're just like, we're working towards, you know, our passion and God's will for us, you know?
Exactly.
That's it. All right, guys. Very interesting reading this week. We had Ruth 1-4, and then Samuel 1-12.
Mm-hmm.
First Samuel. All right. So Ruth is a very interesting story. So Ruth is basically this young lady. She has, you know, she loses her husband. Right. So she's a widow, and, you know, she was married, and then, so basically, Ruth is so important because she was a Moabite who was a widow who became married to Boaz, and they're actually the bloodline of King David. Hmm. So this is why it's pretty important. So it talks about Naomi and Ruth's predicament. How Boaz is kind to Ruth. The threshing floor. Boaz and Ruth marry, produce, once again, David's grandfather, which is the bloodline of King David, who we'll probably get to, I don't know when, but probably shortly. You know, everybody knows. If you read the Bible, you know about King David. He's David and Goliath. He was the father of King Solomon. I think he wrote a lot of the Psalms. I think so. Okay. Or wrote some
I'm
of
not,
them.
I'm not familiar.
He wrote some of the Psalms. I don't know if he wrote all of them, but he wrote some of the Psalms. So cool. I can't actually wait to get to that. But 1 Samuel was very interesting. So anything stand out to you in Ruth?
Yes. First of all, you know, so like life happens. That was the first thing that hit me. Like when Naomi's husband died and then her sons died, it was like, wow. Mm,
yeah.
And I almost felt like she tried to send them away for their benefit, but also because she probably just wanted to grieve alone and kind of like hang her head low. And yeah. Ruth was not really trying to have all that. She was just like, I'm going to come with you, she says to Naomi. So I really like the way they kind of like stuck together. And sometimes you just have this thing come over you where you just know that you can't, you know, like you can't leave your friend in a jam, or you can't leave it like this. Like, oh, I'm not going to leave you to handle this by yourself. Like I had a couple situations like that at work. And I feel like our team kind of works like that anyway, where it's just like, oh, well, there's all this work to do. Like, I'm not going to like let you do it all by yourself type of thing. And so that wasn't necessarily the predicament, but I just felt the like camaraderie of Ruth. And she actually said to Naomi, like, look, like she had this like almost like sit her down, like, look, wherever you go, I'm going. Like, we're going to ride or die together, basically. And that's when Naomi was like, okay, fine. But the other daughter-in-law, you know, went on ahead and went on with her life. I don't know what happened to her, but I thought it was interesting because when Naomi and Ruth went back to where Naomi was from, mm-hmm. you know, you got to see that they helped each other. So yeah. I think that sometimes when you know, like, okay, I'm not going to leave, something's calling me to just be here and be helpful, or, you know, whatever was calling her to do that, you know, it ended up working out in her favor. So that definitely stuck out to me, because she could have taken what seemed like the easy way out and just been like, okay, yeah, I'm a young woman, I can get remarried, you're old, you know, you're done for. But she ended up helping her. She ended up advising her and bringing her even into the space, mm-hmm. you know, and she probably wouldn't have even gotten close to Boaz if not for the relationship, right? That Naomi's family, like they were, you know, well known. They knew each other. They were like, I think they were family somehow. And that's how they were doing it back in the day. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, I thought that definitely stuck out to me. And then just the overall in the chapter or the book of Ruth, the thing that stood out to me was kind of like, chivalry is probably the wrong word, but like following the rules and the importance of like following the custom or the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this is how you do this. I'm going to do this the right way. Like, you know, honor, keeping your word, things like that. Like, I'm going to do this the way it's to be done. Naomi had said something to Ruth towards the end. She was like, oh, if he said he's going to do it, then he's going to go and he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, wow, that's cool. She already knows. Like, yeah. Oh, he's gonna do this, right? Yeah. And I was like, that's what's up. So that's what stood out to me. Was that the question?
No.
Okay.
I was just.
Those are my takeaways initially. Yeah.
And it was a lot of kindness on his part.
Yeah.
And her part. So that's what stood out to me a lot too. Like the kindness that they both showed towards each other, and mm-hmm. the kindness that we need to show in life, man. You know, kindness helps out a lot of people. You don't know what people are going through. And to be kind is just probably the most generous gesture. That makes sense. Generous gesture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you can do.
Yeah.
All right, here's the question. What would it be like to move to a different country to people whose ways are different from yours?
What would it be like? I mean,
You kind of answered
it. I think it would just be, it would be, I don't think I answered it. I don't think. I don't
about
know.
The different customs.
I mean, I think that it would be difficult because you know, depending on where, you probably have to like learn a new language. You have to learn new customs, really, kind of like, you know, any new environment you go into. Yeah. But like to move to a different country,
yeah,
it would be challenging. Yeah. It would be challenging because you have to kind of like forget your old ways. Like, yeah, not like let them go out of your head and never remember them, but it's just like you can't rely on your instincts or your habits to get you through. You have, yeah, to build a new set of habits, and you have to learn and keep that information right, you know what I'm saying, at the forefront.
Yeah.
Especially depending on what culture it is. Because, you know, some cultures, some things we do are offensive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then depending, you know, on where you're going, there might be reputation attached with yeah, where you're from. So people know, like, oh, they came from so-and-so. And it's just like, that could be either good or bad.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it would be challenging.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's change.
Yeah.
So change is challenging. What do you think?
I think it is very challenging. I think you have to adapt. I think you have to listen and watch to see, you know, how people take stuff in their body language and watch what they do. So if you're going to another country, I think paying attention is the first thing. Paying attention and listening to what's going on in your surroundings. Because if somebody mentions you should do it this way, and you're not listening, then there's already a barrier. Because before you get to the other country with the different customs, there's already a barrier up. Mm-hmm. So your job is to, as they say, knock it down. So to become accustomed to it,
mm-hmm,
right? To become familiar with something. To become familiar with something, you kind of like have to almost embody it and appreciate it and learn from it.
Yeah, kind of study it.
Kind of study it. Because if you don't, who wants to be around somebody who doesn't appreciate them, especially if you're going to a different culture?
You know what's interesting when you just said about you have to listen? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes all of us just don't understand what that really means. It's one of those, yeah, words that you think you know the meaning of, mm-hmm, it, and you think you do it, but then, you know, are you really? Mm-hmm. So I've learned that within our relationship, I've learned, yeah, like how to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And really like how to speak too, because it's like if you're wanting to get a point across and it's not landing, then what can you do to land your point? It's not,
yeah,
like it all falls on you. It does also take a listener. It takes, yeah, someone who's open to listen to you, but so often the way we communicate is not effective in exchanging ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like one of the things that we started doing a while ago, maybe a couple years ago, was like, listen to me as if you're gonna learn something new. What do we say to each other? Like, listen with intent.
Listen with intent.
As if you're gonna learn something new,
mm-hmm,
from the way that I express this.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes it takes for me to go there. Even like I'll use that with other people too, like coworkers and stuff, because I use it when I find myself like waiting to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. Like, it's funny that this question is going here, but
it's
like you have to have buy-in. If,
yeah,
you're going to a new place or to do a new thing, the assumption is that you've bought in, you've given your buy-in to to assimilate to this culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've already said it's a good idea for you. This is a desire of yours.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes when we're communicating, mm-hmm, with each other, just as human beings, we're not necessarily trying to assimilate. We're not necessarily trying to like get along. A lot of times we're just trying to get our point across. Like, you need to understand me. Like, that's,
yeah,
why I'm here in this conversation.
Yeah.
So that you can understand what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much the other way around, where it's like, what if you could get value out of,
yeah,
understanding what this person has to communicate,
yeah,
right? Maybe understanding how they think, maybe understanding how they communicate,
mm-hmm,
understanding something about what they're expressing or the way that they're expressing. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why I went there with it, but it just came to me.
I think that's, the listening is just one of those very things, like when you say, you know, listen to me, or listen, it's just like we hear it so much, we don't really try to embody or embrace what it really is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I was talking to my friend earlier. Later, like this, when we talk about this too, balance is one of those things. Oh, I try to have balance. Well, there's no actual balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get balance, you might be in heaven.
you're sacrificing something with the perceived balance.
I think even
the word balance is somehow, not detrimental, but thinking, like, the way that we think about balance is almost the way we think about evil and good. It's like it should be this way.
Yeah.
But like, if you've never experienced in that way, if you've never experienced life in that way that you're perceiving, and then how could you say that this is the way it should be?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you could go after something, mm-hmm. but a lot of times when you're going in pursuit of something, there is no balance,
no,
because
balance.
You're forward, you know what I mean? So, yeah. You're running towards it.
There's no balance. So. Either you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like all in. You know, I know people say it, but that's how kind of like listen is, mm-hmm. right? It's like, oh, you know, that's why the older I get and the more I try to become a listener. And that's why I try to listen with more intent. Because you'll pick up on things, what people say and how they think and what they're thinking about. And it goes back to appreciation. When somebody sees that you're listening to them, it's like, oh, wow. You know? It's so deep. It listening to somebody can just help out with their day. You don't know what they're going through. Because listening, it's just, you'll be able to give value to somebody by listening to them.
Just by listening.
Just by listening. That's it. That's how important listening is. And I don't think it gets talked enough. I don't think a lot of people do it. I think they're waiting to speak so much.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm still not 100% over that, but I'm cognizant of it.
Yeah.
And I try my best to just try to be in the moment and absorb the being of a person. When somebody's standing there talking to me, like, I just want to embrace them and their whole self. Like, show me who you are, right? I like that. And I guess you're right. I guess people do feel some kind of way, you know, about that in a good way, because they're being seen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like to see
people.
Oh,
that person actually listened to me. Yeah. You know? Like, it makes somebody feel good. That's a part of being kind.
Hmm.
You know?
That's what's up.
All right. Samuel 1 through 3.
Okay, here's where it gets it gets real, guys.
Yeah, so Hannah dedicates Samuel in gratitude, which is real. She basically couldn't bear kids, and Hannah could not bear children, so she gave Samuel to the Lord. And now here's the great thing. Once she gave Samuel to the Lord, she bore other kids.
Yeah.
So God was like, I got you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't even worry about that. I just need this one, because he's about to do some great things. And she bore the kids. So once again, God gives in abundance. Eli the priest has wicked sons. And Samuel as a boy hears God.
Okay, so I'll just say, I really enjoyed, it's 1 Samuel 1:27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my request, which I asked of him. Therefore, I've also dedicated him to the Lord. As he lives, he he is dedicated to the Lord. I like that because it's like what you said. It's like you ask God for something and you give it right back. It's like a gift. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It happened here, but it's such a metaphor because if you ask God for something and you dedicate it to Him, it's life. It's how your life should be. So it's like it's such a divine like exchange because you really want this thing, but you give it to God, but then God gives you back. It's just like hand in hand, you know what I mean? It's so awesome. I just love I love the infinity in that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it just keeps going. So that was one thing that was one verse that stuck out to me.
Yeah. And here it is, right? This is 1 Samuel 2:21. And indeed the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. So he gave her 5. Mm. She only had to give 1. Of course, she loved it, but she asked God for a child, and she said, I will give him to you. And she did. And if she wanted kids, now she has 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I like that.
You know? And then it talks about Eli the priest, who's a priest, and wicked sons who were, back then, you know, this probably still goes on to the day. I'm not going to say probably, it goes on today, where people that are in power just take advantage of it, you know? They manipulate the system and, you know, they take bribes and, you know, that's not cool.
But it dates back. It's nothing new. And so it's so funny because people, you know, the assumption, one of the assumptions that we realized when we started reading the Bible is that people think it's outdated. It doesn't apply to present day. Like, oh, the Bible was written, you know, hundreds of years ago, thousands. And this is so outdated that it can't possibly apply to us today. And it's like, it's the same life. We're the same human beings that have the same, you know, sort of temptations and the same challenges with honoring God and honoring ourselves and honoring, like, the way we should live. So it's so funny to look back and see, like, oh, this is still happening. Like, a lot of everything is still happening.
Yes.
you know what I mean? So, question?
Yeah, you do.
Think of the biggest sacrifice you would be willing to make out of gratitude, and how will God respond?
Ooh.
That's a big question.
The biggest sacrifice. Right now, I think, man, the biggest sacrifice right now, I think would be, that's a pretty big sacrifice.
Good question. I would say what she did, right? Like, I'll give you my, but see, that would just, I'll be honest, that would be with the expectation, like, oh, I want more, right?
Yeah.
So I almost feel like that's not a good one.
No.
But like, it's just like my life and my gift.
That's,
right?
That's
it's just
answer.
Like, okay, like, because I love this, I love my life, I love, you know, using my gift for me to have fun.
Yeah.
But like kind of sharing my gift to further like God's word, further God's will and his people.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess that's what I could say.
I mean,
the bigger sacrifice you would be willing to make out of gratitude.
I'm gonna say it anyway. It is valuable. It's probably the most valuable thing. Time.
That's a really good one.
Time. Like instead of scrolling, you know, on your phone. I got this from you. The distraction sticker.
Oh yeah, that's a genius thing.
So like that's one thing you could do right with your time because you gotta think right. Time is the most valuable thing because time is so fleeting from us. it's value. Like every month, any money that you lost, you're gonna get back, right? You don't even see cash nowadays. You know, it's so you got to think, right? Credit is almost non-existent. It exists, but I mean, got to be honest, guys. Like, sometimes I wonder, you know, money is man-made, right? So you got to think. You can manifest anything you want. You can get anything you want if you work hard. But time is something that death is guaranteed. No matter who you are, you can be the richest person on the earth, you're still going to die. So time, I think, is the most valuable thing that we can give to God with the most gratitude. And I think if you give your time to God, that's the most rewarding. So, you know, it's a couple things that I'm trying to do right now. Right? This is giving our time to God.
It is. I don't like to be like, look what I'm doing.
No, I'm just saying, just an example. Like, reading the Bible is something that you can do that you, when you're not, you know, from church or do what we do. It's just like a simple 4 chapters a day, you know? If not that, even 2. Just taking time, 10 minutes, you know, meditating, which I think is a connection to yourself and God, just by sitting in silence, praying, you know, just giving Him just more time, you know?
It's interesting, too, because all of those things that you said, I enjoy them, right? Yeah. I guess it started out as I should do. It's like, I should do this, I should do that. But now it's like a joyful thing, right? Like, I need that, right? Like, I need that time to read. I need that time to pray. It helps me, right? So it's like you're worshiping God. You're trying to be giving gratitude and coming to Him with your requests. But I need that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it doesn't really feel like a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, I don't know how that works. I guess He's giving back to me, right? Like, yeah. I guess that's what the infinite part. So James had mentioned this. I just wanted to say what it was. So I had to do this. It's such a simple thing. And it's one of the things that I talk about over on my channel. Yes, I'm a unicorn. But, like, these little simple things that help me to go throughout my day and to be as productive as I can be. And one of them is I just take a post-it note and I put it on top of my phone while I'm doing something. So, like, if I'm over here, like, trying to plan something out or do some work or, you know, it's so easy for me to pick up my phone. And, like, I'll pick up my phone to, oh, let me just pull out the calculator on the phone real quick so I could do a quick little math problem. Or I'll go to Google something, and then 20 minutes later, I haven't done...
Down the hole, man.
Not only am I down the hole, like, scrolling or something like that, or looking something up, you know, on Amazon or some other website, or if... Not only have I done that for 20 minutes, but I still haven't done the thing I picked my phone up for. So it's like, oh, I went to go, like, look something specific up or do a quick thing on my phone, and 20 minutes later, so, like... Even though this is a post-it note and, like, I can, you know, throw it away, I can make another one, I like to keep it on there because sometimes it'll go off, and that's another thing that happens. Like, even if I don't reach for it, somebody might text me or I might get an email, and then the instinct is to pick it up and see what it was. But when I pick it up and I see this on there, I'm like, no, I'm doing something. Right? Like, that can wait. And anybody who needs me can just call me. And if my phone rings, I'll answer it. Yeah. But if it's a text message or email or a little, like, ding or instant message or something like that, it's like, that can wait until I'm done doing this thing that I'm doing. And it's helped me so much because, for me, once I get distracted, it costs me time. It costs me those little 20, 30 minutes 50 minutes, those add up. And next thing you know, you've wasted like 6 hours of your day.
Yeah.
And so if I'm committed to doing what I'm doing, like, I need stuff like that anyway.
Yeah.
Got
I mean, that's good. That's what happens, man. You know, I'm telling you, I've been down a rabbit hole. I look up like, yo, it's an hour that just went by.
Yeah.
So, and
how will God respond? Ooh. Oh, we already said that. Yeah, I think he would just, any sacrifice you make to God, yeah, I think he gives it back to you.
He gives it back, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you sacrifice time,
he makes something that you need time for, yeah, happen. You know what I mean?
I'll go this. If you give God time,
he gives you happiness.
Not only that, ask and you shall receive. The law of that is, you know, what he says in the Bible, guys, you know, so, but you gotta give them time.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'd like to even be better about that and, you know, serving and stuff, but we already, well, that's different.
You know, I'm about to see why you should give God time, but he always forgives. Now, Samuel 4 through 8. 1 Samuel 4 through 8, guys. Gosh, it's two Samuels, you know? No, so the Philistines, the ark, and Eli's death. The ark is returned to Israel. Samuel and God prevent attack. And Israel asks for a king. Now, this is deep. This is deep. So the Philistines, they bullied Israel. They did. They went to Israel and they took the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Ark of the Covenant. And once they took the Ark of the Covenant, here's the funny thing. They took the Ark of the Covenant, knew it was the Ark of the Covenant, because they would call it the God of Israel, but they worshipped other gods. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant in their camp. And what happened was,
They took it next to their god, Dagon. And the first time, the god, like when it came back in the morning, it was like knocked over or something. It was face down, like, you know, to face the Ark of the Covenant. And they put it back up, and then the next day, they came back, and it was there again. Only this time it was like beheaded or something.
It was like
wow, how did this happen? So then everywhere they took, so they kept moving the Ark of the Covenant, right? And they were calling it the Ark of the Lord. They were calling it something else. They weren't calling it the Ark of the Covenant. They were like the Ark of the Lord of the Israelites or something like that. Mm-hmm. Take the Ark of the Lord and put it on the cart. Take the Ark of the God of Israel. So what they were doing is they were taking it to different cities.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you take it. Now you take it. Like, everywhere they took it, mm-hmm, they would get, like, plagues, or they would get, like, tumors, or, like, it was basically become a curse for them because they were not, you know, worshiping the right God.
Yeah, it's a difference if they... So, first of all, as we know with the Ark of the Covenant, not everybody can touch it. If they took it and they said, we believe, but here's the thing about customs. You can believe in another god, and then, this is back then, guys, you wouldn't know what type of offering to do for the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, they did have to, yep.
You gotta do offerings. It's a certain way that you have to approach it. You have to be a priest. Like, it's certain things that you have to do. So, like Faith said, I think one city, everybody got tumors.
Yeah.
Everybody got tumors in the city that the Ark of the Covenant was in. God was striking down people. So, the funny thing is they had it for 7 months. So, they were like, we got to return this.
we gotta give this back. They had taken it to all these cities. So then when they finally did return it, they had to find out, they had to call they called them seers, tell us how to return this, you know what I'm saying? And they told them, like, you gotta put it on a cart, you gotta make these offerings, you gotta make them, you know, for all the cities you took it to, you need to have a gold piece gold mouse and a gold tumor. They had to like create these things.
Yeah.
And give it, and then they put them on these two horses, or not horses, cows.
Yep.
They put them on these two cows, and they were like, "We'll know if this is God that did this stuff to us if the cows go straight, right? And we'll, and if they don't go straight, and if you're off to the right, and if you're off to the left,
yeah,
then that means that this all just happened by chance." Well, the cows went straight. So it was like confirmation, even though they weren't even believers, they understood. And, oh, I gotta say this. This is why you, when you know God's word, or you know, by your instinct what's right, you were taught, you can't just go along with what other people are doing,
yeah,
if they don't know as much as you know.
Yeah.
Because regardless of whether these people know God's ways or not, or what they're supposed to do, they're still being affected by their lack of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
So they, like you said, they mishandled the Ark of the Covenant, and then they got things that are starting to happen to them, and they don't understand. And then when they sent that thing off, and they're like, "Oh, we'll know if it's God if it goes straight back," and it does, and it's like, "Oh wow!" Like, you might call yourself a non-believer, but you had to believe to do that.
Yep.
So it's like people will do these things, and they know it's almost like they know better, but they just want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And if you go along with it, even after knowing better, right? Like, that's not smart.
No.
So I'm just thinking this to myself, like, yo, they're getting the consequences of mishandling the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant,
mm-hmm,
even though they didn't have the instructions, right? So they probably, when they took it, obviously didn't think any of this stuff would happen to them.
Yeah.
And then they went down and they did this stuff, and all these things, these bad things start to happen to them. Now they're like, "Oh, we got to give this back. What do we do now? Like,
yeah,
let's follow the rules now." You know what I'm saying? And then, like, that's just so, you know, I feel like that's still happening in certain ways.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? It's like people say that. I just don't believe. I think that people are not non-believers. I think they don't practice the customs.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the stuff, right? They don't know,
yeah,
the customs. They don't bother to go and seek the ways of God.
Yeah.
But I think everybody believes in God.
Yeah.
At some point or another.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
Now here's the thing, guys.
I be going on a tangent, y'all.
Here's the great thing, right? So it comes back, and everybody was like, "All right, now Samuel, who's a priest, right, of a man of faith that God has anointed." Here's the funny thing: he gives the Israelites a word about the Philistines, and they're scared. Now, we've seen this over and over and over again. They've seen what God can do. You know? Like, God brought them out of Egypt. God even gave them bread. He made manna as the dew in the morning.
Mm.
Can you imagine you wake up hungry and you have some fresh King Hawaiian rolls buttered from God? That's what it probably tastes like. It probably tastes like your favorite potato bread.
Oh my God.
Buttered, like, naturally.
Is your mouth watering?
Yeah. And you probably bite into it. It's probably moist. Like, this is the best bread.
I like me some naan.
You know? Could be naan. I'm telling you, whatever came was glorious.
Mm.
And they had forgotten, because they remove themselves from God every chance they get. They don't even realize of what he's done. And and now, what Samuel did is Samuel gave an offering to God, and then God, how many Philistines? This is 1 Samuel 7, number 10. As Samuel was offering up a burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack, and the Lord thundered a mighty sound against the Philistines, drew them in confusion, and they were defeated. So once again, God, listen, Israel cried out, God said, "Okay, I got you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he struck them down. Now, here's the funny thing. This is what reminded me of what's going on today. This is why I love the Bible, guys. And you said it earlier. You don't think this stuff It's in the Bible. Mm. The Bible relates to everything that's going on today. We're in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. And what I'm about to read is what's going on today. 1 Samuel 8. 8:1-3. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was
Abijah.
We'll say Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways and turned aside after grain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Mm. And that is happening to this day.
Yeah.
You just read it right there, guys. You can't tell me it's not. Like, it's live. Do you understand? It's happening. You turn on TV and it says live TV. That's exactly what this is going on.
Yeah.
If you believe it or not, it's really happening. So, it's just very interesting. And so, another thing is, we get to this point where Israel is asking Samuel for a king.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Go ahead. I know you.
I was gonna say in 8:5 he says, "Look." So the elders came together basically and said, "Look, you have grown old." To Samuel, "Look, you've grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us a king to judge us and rule over us like all the other nations."
So here we go. You're comparing yourself. Number one, here's two lessons. You're comparing yourself to other nations when you're not. Mm-hmm. Because you're God's people.
Yeah.
So, in life, stop comparing yourselves to other people. Right? Stop comparing yourselves to the world.
I should have one of those because they got it.
Yeah, let's focus on this. What God says, right? Two, this next point this really hit me because I do this, guys, and I'm not just coming to you saying, like, oh, I'm the perfect Christian. Like, no, man. I don't know how many times I tell you that I forget that God has given me everything. Like, I forget to be grateful or show gratitude towards Him.
Yeah.
And I complain. And then I read about it, like, dang, they're still complaining? And then I'm like, oh, well, James, you complain all the time. So what's, you know? So, like, all right, so listen to this. So, 1 Samuel 8, number 7, verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, and they're also doing to you. Now then obey their voice, and only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So here's God, like, you want a man to be king when you have forgotten what I've done for you. I just saved you from the Philistines.
Yeah.
I just did.
And I guess the reason they wanted a king was because he said, "Give us a king to judge and rule over us." And it was something else that they were saying, like, I guess they wanted a king for protection, like, against other nations. But, like, the thing is, every time they go into battle, God is with them, and whether they have 300 men or they have 30,000 or whatever the numbers say, they always win when they're with God. They only lose when they've been serving other gods or when they've fallen into their hands. Like, this is how it keeps continuing to go. Yeah. So if history teaches us anything, it's really interesting. But here's another thing though.
Yeah.
It's like even once Samuel said. Well, if you get a king, here's what you can expect. They still wanted it.
Man, I was just about to go into that.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No, man. That's the crazy thing. he was like, listen, when you get this king, he's going to reap your harvest. He's going to make implements of war. He's going to enslave you. You're going to have to give so much to him. He's going to take so much from you, it's not worth it.
Right.
You know? It's not worth it. He's going to take your livestock, and he's going to rule over you. And they were like, we still want a king. We still
want it. I'm like trying to figure out, like, anyway, you know, it sounds weird to me, but I'll bet there's something in my life like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know there is. I'm just not willing to, like, say it. I just don't even know what it is right now, yeah, honestly, in my mind. But, like,
yeah,
it's these temptations. Like, okay, yeah, I know, but I still want it. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, that's real. That's real. Okay, so then what's the question?
All right. Samuel and God were sad when the people asked for a king. Why? And then how is Christian fixation on American politics a little like wanting a king? Ooh.
Okay, that's a loaded question. TeachSundaySchool.com, y'all are getting real racy with these questions. Okay, so there's an assumption built in there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back over there. Samuel and God were sad when the people asked for a king. Why? All right, let's answer that part first. It's because God is their king, and they're not like other nations. And it's like, you're doing this, and why? But see, here's the other thing. God still gives them a choice.
Yes.
God has set up this, like,
thing
where it's like, okay, you want a king? Sure, give them a king, but then let them know what they're up against, right? But it's like God's still going to give them what they want anyway, because he gives us a choice. All right, the second part of the question.
Oh, let me answer the why.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me answer the why, because this one is, I don't know. We'll get into
that. We're going to get into that. We got to answer it.
Yeah. So the why is God is king. Right? Now, we learned that God is very direct. He's going to let you know how he feels. He's going to let you know if he's angry.
Yep.
He's going to let you know not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give out examples. And so there's things that are going on of why is it sad? Because even though it's expected, it still hurts. Because I've been with you. I mean, we're talking now generations. Right? This is so far. He's still serving them. You got to remember, he saves them from Egypt. They still complain. That generation doesn't make it out the wilderness, including Moses. They leave the wilderness and get to the promised land. They defeat with God and Joshua of Nun. They defeat all these nations. God tells them, don't mix with the Canaanites. They do. Then they find themselves not worshiping him. And they find themselves forgetting and separating from God, that they're worshiping other gods. And then they realize they don't have a leader. Then God would send them these judges to help them out, to save them from themselves or from captivity. Then some of the judges were so far away from God that they were still trying to worship God, doing the practices as if God was an idol. And now we get to here where God has saved them again and they're going back. And you know, God knows it. But it sucks. It's like,
here we go again. Well, you know, one thing is like, it is generation on generation.
Yeah.
So it's not like these specific people have experienced everything, right? They just have been passed down the information.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what the Bible is anyway. Yeah. So it's like, it's the same thing that's happening today. Like, even though you know that this information is here of what happened and what our people go through,
you're still doing it.
And it's like they're not learning the lessons from their ancestors. They're not learning the lessons of, like, God's consistency.
Yeah.
Right? Like, time and time again, we've told you this is how God operates.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll take a number one.
Yeah. Might worry about that.
Right, right. I'll worry about that later. Something like that, right?
Yeah. So that's why. All right. The second question.
The second part of this question. How is Christian fixation on American politics a little like wanting a king? Mm. I think that that's a jam-packed question because we're assuming that there's a Christian fixation on American politics.
Yeah.
And I don't really know that that's true for everyone, right? Like, okay, here's the thing. We do live here. And, you know, I do think it's important to vote.
Yeah.
Because we live here. And if you're just not going to vote, it's like, well, you're just kind of giving your choice away to the next guy.
Yeah.
So if you choose to live here in America, you kind of have to participate.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not just voting. It's also like being aware of the laws that are being passed.
Yeah.
It's being a part of your local... Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I get where the question is coming from.
Yeah.
Because it's like, a fixation on this made up thing, right? Because it is made up. Like, the government has been created over time.
Yeah.
It's
man-made,
It's definitely man-made. but, you know, it's something that we were all born into, so it's like, you it's either participate or you're off the grid, basically. Yeah. Like, if you're not off the grid, then you kind of, you know, should figure out what's going on around you because you're going to have to follow the laws.
Yeah.
You're in the society, so it's not like you could just be like, I don't feel like having a driver's license, or I don't want to have insurance, or I don't think I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going along with this pullover for the cops thing. Like, if you're a part of the society, you kind of have to participate, right? So, unless you're off the grid. So, I think fixation is pretty kind of like a heavy word.
Yeah.
It could describe some people, but I think it's kind of a touchy sort of like accusation there. But anyway, going with that point, I'll say the thing that makes it kind of like this situation with wanting a king is that we're looking for this wholesome Christian person to be following Christian principles and upholding God's laws. And that's not what American politics is really about. And they might say that sometimes, but, you know, it's about, see, this is heavy, but it's about managing the masses.
Yeah.
That's what the government is really about.
Yeah.
It's about managing the masses because with all of these people who obviously outnumber the government, there needs to be some management. And there needs to be some sort of, like, control so that, you know, people aren't just doing whatever it is that they want to do, and which would be, like, lawlessness. So I think that's kind of, like, what the government is about. I wouldn't say that it's, like, a fixation from a Christian perspective on a whole basis, right? I think I think most of us are trying to, you know, follow the law of the land and go after God.
Yeah.
And I think most of us rely on the protection from God over the protection of the government.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
For everybody, but
I guess it is they're going really hard, but I agree with you. I don't think it is, but I think sometimes this day and age, maybe instead of looking for God, we look for a king like they are in politics. Where I think you hit it on the nose. I think we're looking for somebody who upholds the Christian values, but I don't really necessarily believe. I don't really think there's that many Christian beliefs in politics. So sometimes
Christian believers,
Christian
are also politicians.
Yeah, no, Christian like
beliefs
within the system.
Oh,
like,
okay,
I think it's
okay.
A lot that goes on in the system that is like Samuel's sons.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think unfortunately it's either we look left or right, and we got to choose one. And you know, it is what it is. This is our custom. But I think that's what their question is. And I think we should, you know, what I'm learning is, always vote to, you know, who you want to, and pay attention to your local politics. But we should be looking towards God first.
Yeah.
Because that could come a real distraction unless you're into it. You know, unless you're running, right? But if you're right, or you want to support it.
No, yeah. I'm laughing because I rely on God all the time, and I prayed my way through the last.
Oh, yeah, see?
I prayed so. I don't know if I've ever prayed so much as I did over that last term.
Okay,
I'll
so
leave it
anyway,
there.
Yes,
so, you're seeking God first.
You seek God first because.
God will handle it.
Yeah, you're not going to look.
God will handle it, and it'll look
I think
wild.
The question is, we're looking up towards man versus we should be looking up towards God.
Yeah.
And sometimes in American politics, we're looking towards
man. Yeah.
And not God.
Yeah.
Because.
Well said.
Yeah. Men take bribes. That's what. That's
yeah,
just
God
the
is consistent. Like you see.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He makes a promise. He keeps it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Men and women. They're in politics too. They are.
All right, let's move along because we've gotten all the way up.
We have.
Now listen,
all right.
This is fun though. I have a great conversation with you.
All right, so Samuel 9-12 is that Samuel anoints Saul. So Saul becomes king. Saul is a hero at Jabesh. And then Samuel's farewell speech. So Saul is basically, this is about Saul.
He's a Benjamite. So he's from the tribe of Benjamin.
Tribe of Benjamin. So Saul is, you know, basically, it's just a young man that, you know, God picked. God picked Saul to be king. And, you know, Saul wasn't from, he was from a small town, it looks like it, from a small tribe.
Yeah, it said he was a mighty man of influence and wealth, but I feel like that was maybe later, because it seemed like he was from a small tribe, and he didn't think he was important enough. He said that in one of the verses here. It was like, why are you looking at me like I'm important?
What did I
do? So he said, this was back in 9. He was like, because they were looking for donkeys. Like, Saul's dad, Kish, I think, their donkeys got away.
Yeah.
And he sent Saul out, like, hey, go find a donkey. So they were gone so long that Saul was like, oh, we need to go back because now they probably, like, looking for us.
Yeah.
And then whoever he was with was like, well, let's just ask this person, you know, from the next land over, like, to tell us where the donkeys are. And then when they got there, it was Samuel, and Samuel was like, God told me yesterday that you would come, right? And it was like, wow, like, so everything that God had said was the way that it was. But at that point, Saul, because Samuel had invited Saul to come and eat with him, and they gave him like a nice big plate and everything. And he was like, why are you looking at me like I'm important? I'm trying to find the verse right here.
Oh, so Saul's family was wealthy though.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And Saul was a handsome, tall young man.
Okay. But he said, I don't know where it said.
Which one?
He was basically like, why are you talking to me? Saul said that to Samuel, like, why are you talking to me like I'm important. And in fact, when he went to go, when Samuel went to go anoint Saul and be the king, they were like looking for him, and he was like hiding with the supplies and stuff. I don't think he really thought he was, you know, up for the job or something. Like, I don't think he knew that, like, he, you know, was supposed to be king.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting to point out.
Yeah. So it was, here's when you say where he was like, I'm surprised. This is 1 Samuel 9:21, where he says, Saul answered, am I not a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of tribe of Benjamin? Then why have you spoken to me in this way?
Yeah, mine says, why have you spoken this way to me as if I were very important? That's what my 9:21 ends with. Yeah. So, because I have the Amplified version, so they kind of took it a little bit
more. Right. So he's like, Saul's surprised and like, who am I? You know?
Right.
Like, I'm from a small tribe. You know, like, I'm a Benjamite, man. Mm-hmm. So, and then we have Samuel's farewell speech.
Mm-hmm.
So, you ready for this question?
I am ready for the question.
What struck you the deepest about Samuel's farewell speech?
Okay, so two things. Number one, this is like so the here or there type of thing.
Yeah.
But whenever you see the word behold in the Bible, like, I'm starting to realize that that's like a precursor to like something's about to go down. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you better listen up. That's what behold means to me. Now listen up.
Yeah.
So like whenever I see the word behold, I'd be like, uh-oh, right? So anyway, the thing that stuck out to me most was the ending of it, where he was basically saying the same thing. You had pointed this out when we were reading it. You know, if you do evil, then, you know, you'll be dealt with evilly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you serve God with all your heart, then God will bless you. If you choose the other choice, then you'll be cursed, basically. Like, he didn't say those exact words, but it's the same thing that Moses said. Yeah. It's the same thing that Joshua said.
Yeah.
It's like we're seeing this over and over again. So I think that's the most, you know, the thing that was the most jarring, because he kind of, like, went over the recap of, like, how they were, you know, delivered out of Egypt. And it's like everybody keeps saying this, like, now remember who you are. Right? Remember this before I pass away. Like, I want to remind you of how far we've come together, or what your history is, rather.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you do this, here's what's going to happen to you. And it's almost like they always are like, oh, we're so sorry. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we don't want to do that. And then they do it anyway. So, I don't know. But that's probably the thing that struck me the deepest, is like, okay, he's saying the same thing that Moses and Joshua said.
That's what I got out of it. I even highlighted it.
Yeah, me too.
It's 1 Samuel 12:14. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and your king who reigns over you will follow the Lord of God, it will be well. But if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. It's just that simple. The same thing you said, he's just saying it over and over again. And every time that I read it, I make sure I'm more grateful and I complain less.
It makes me think, like, okay, I need to do more service.
I need to do more service.
Right, like, and I obviously, like, we all fall short. Like, James made a comment earlier that I kind of wanted to piggyback on it and kind of just even expound on. And he was like, you know, don't think that I'm perfect. Like, this is definitely not that. If you came here thinking that that's what we're saying, this is, you're wrong. We're definitely, you know, closer towards, you know, imperfection than anything. So, you know, we're just reading the Bible and we just are being reminded that, like, oh, we need to really be paying attention to this and, like doing some of these, you know, doing all of these things and, like, just trying to correct yourself every day. Another thing that I wanted to say was that, you know, and even kind of has to do with the king thing. Yeah. Like, I get how people could want a leader because if people are just split up, and this is why Judges came about, because it was like, okay, there was no leader and people started to just group off and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did make a comment, and I still believe it's last week when we were like, yo, it's imperative for us to be around believers because...
Yeah.
You know, as we see, when people are left to their own devices, they're going to get more and more evil. They're going to get more, they're going to disintegrate back into whatever evil is. And I'm not to say that we're evil or anything like that, but I'm like seeing the you know, the fragility of the human experience and like, okay, that could be us. So we need to just be reminded as much as possible, which is why it's like, okay, we need to be around believers as much as we can.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's interesting because it's like he says, it, "You and your king, right? Yeah. Like God, you wanted a king. God gave you a king.
Yes.
You and your king. If you follow God,
you'll be well.
We'll be fine.
Yep.
If you don't, you and your king will be swept away to destruction. Like that's the last." Verse in 12:25.
Yeah.
But if you still do evil, both you and your king will be swept away to destruction. So that's the downfall of having a king, because if you chose this leader and then your leader leads you into evil, right? Like, who can you really blame? You chose the king.
You chose the king.
Right? So you kind of just have to, like, you know, not even kind of, you have to always just be in pursuit of a life around God.
Yeah.
And even if your king isn't, right? Or, you know, however you want to say it. Even if the person that you've chosen as your leader, you know what I'm saying, falls short, you have to just be, you know, focused on God. And I'm saying this because I'm recognizing it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it because I know, you know what I mean? I'm just like, this is some scary stuff. Because it's like, we're all prone to be, you know, to slip off, to fall off.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, it's getting good, guys. We're in Saul. We're in 1 Samuel now.
1 Samuel.
We're not
now.
In Saul. I don't even know if that's a...
But Saul's about to be, you know, we're
about to see what Saul's about to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, look at this, too. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Saul seems completely cool right now.
Yeah, right now.
I don't know what's getting ready to happen. I didn't read this part of the Bible before. But, like, he
I don't know if I touched on. I've read 2 Samuel.
I've never read the Book of Samuel. I've read some of these other books that we've read, but I've heard some of the stories. Like, I did know about Boaz.
Yeah.
But I had never read Ruth, I don't think. But I knew the story. I knew parts of the story, but I don't remember anything about Saul. I've definitely heard his name before. I don't remember what the characteristics of him are, and it's interesting. And I'm kind of glad it's like that, because it's like, okay, I have all good, you know. It seems like he has all good intentions. I have no reason to think, other than the history repeats itself, that Saul's going to do something messed up, because. Okay, he seems like an okay guy. Like, he seems a little meek and, like, you know, which is a good thing. So it seems like he might do all right, especially with this warning, right?
You would think so, but...
So we can wait to see what happens, guys.
We're about to. So next week, we got 1 Samuel 13 through 24.
Yep, and somewhere in there, we're going to read Psalms 11... And it was Psalms 59.
Yeah.
So, and I think they're just going to sprinkle Psalms. Oh, but then after Samuel, we're going to read a lot more of Psalms.
I think David wrote a lot of Psalms.
Oh, okay. So that's how TeachSundaySchool.com has this Bible reading plan, look like mapped out. So we're going to do 1 Samuel and then we'll do Psalms. But anyway, we're only focused on 1 Samuel. So, Look forward to that. Yeah. And did you want to give any shout outs this week?
I always give a shout out to Yes and Me Unicorn. You know, for all your planners, people that like to plan, and people that want to get organized, like myself.
It's something for everybody, guys. Yeah. I'm working on my content, but yeah, thank you for the shout out.
And then I want to shout out Fourth Quarter, which is cool, right? It's from a fan's perspective, so it's really good. If you don't want to, like, if you want to really get tired of just listening to people argue on TV, and you want to listen to some good substance, that's what Fourth Quarter is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're about to shout out my two sisters. Is that it?
No. No, those two
sisters. Those two sisters.
Live with those two sisters.
Live with those two sisters.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start with that. Shout out to Mr. Meta Joe, where our show lives. We're turning it into a podcast. It is a podcast, but we're you know, making some moves toward the effort of getting all of our episodes loaded up so as podcasts. But in the meantime, you can check it out. Check out our show over on Mr. Meta Joe. Disclaimer, right? I just feel like I had to give this disclaimer because, yeah, this is two sisters talking real talk, and it's not rated G. So if you head on over there, you're gonna be entertained, but it's not for the kids. And then shout out to just Miss Demita Joe and everything she's doing on her channel with the fitness blog, and she's getting some food stuff up there, and she's really just promoting a healthy lifestyle, especially targeted towards people over 40, women over 40, and she's doing a great job. She's teaching me some things about, you know, what to be eating, and she actually is on this fitness journey with her strength training, and I'm very inspired by that. I've recently started doing a little strength training. I'm going to incorporate that into my workout, so I'm excited. But yeah, want to shout out Mr. Meta Joe. Want to shout out Relationship Entertainment TV, ReTV. There's lots of good content over there. They even have an app. So all of this information and links will be in our description box.
Yeah.
That's all my shout outs this week. Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to save the rest for next week.
All right. Cool, guys. So we will see you next week. And then once again, don't forget.
Don't take our word for it. Go to the source. Read your Bible.
All right. All right, guys.
Peace. See y'all next week.